Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in that blessed and glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted you're joining us for a few more moments of Bible study together. We've been discussing new birth blessings and how that these blessings began with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've discussed how an individual can come to know Jesus Christ as Savior by acknowledging they're a sinner, understanding that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he arose from the grave, victor over death, hell, and the grave, that he lives today, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And if we will accept what Jesus Christ did for us and invite him to come into our life, he will send the Holy Spirit into our spirit to do that glorious work of salvation, to change us in our spirit, to give us life eternal. For every individual that knows not Christ is dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and in sin, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2. But, beloved, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he that hath the Son of God has eternal life, we're told in 1 John chapter 5. And what a blessing it is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and to be on our way to glory. Now, the next step after salvation is scriptural baptism, following the Lord in scriptural baptism. And this is pointed out to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, as the Lord Jesus was giving directions and instruction to the church that he had established when he was walking here on earth, that first called out assembly of disciples. We read in verse 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What do we teach anybody? The first thing we teach them is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the sins of mankind. Then the second step is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the next step after an individual's accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Then the next act of obedience is to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Now, we're not going to go into this in depth, but I will tell you that it is on our website if you'd like an in-depth study of scriptural baptism. You can go to our website, which is www.bbfi. That's the abbreviation for Baptist Bible Fellowship International. BBFI, Bob Griggs, my name, B-O-B, G-R-I-G-G-S, all together, no spaces there, and then a dot, and C-O-M. That's our website address. If you'll go to that, then it will bring you to the opening page. And there in the opening page, you'll find a list across the top of different areas you can go in our website, and one of them is Media Library. If you click on Media Library, it will take you to a different page, and there you'll find a list of items listed, and one of those that is listed is doctrine. And under doctrine, you can find scriptural baptism. Also, one of them is truth. and under the truth. If you will go to truth, you can find scriptural baptism listed, knowing the truth. The name of it is truth, and if you'll click on truth, it will take you to knowing the truth, which is a document that presents the gospel, and then after that it talks about how to know that you're saved, and then it discusses scriptural baptism. Both these documents will give you an in-depth study of scriptural baptism. But we're just briefly covering it today. And here in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26, we read an account that will help us to understand scriptural baptism and what it means. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so the place of the Scripture, Philip came up, sat in the chariot with him. The place in the Scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. For this was a prophecy. I believe it was some 700 years before Christ was born that this prophecy was given concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his burial and his resurrection. And so Philip began at that place and explained to him how that Christ had died for our sin, was buried, and arose from the grave because Jesus was without sin. He never sinned while walking here on earth, for he was God in human form. And he lived a sinless life, and therefore he could die for you and he could die for me. I couldn't die for you because I'm a sinner. I couldn't pay for your sin because I have sinned. You couldn't die for me because you've sinned. But Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, and so he could take both our place. He could become our substitute and die for each of us. And that's what he did. And so Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now they had water in the chariot because they were going across the desert, but they came to a body of water. And so Philip said, If thou believest, this is the qualification for baptism, beloved. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. If you go under the water and come up again before you're saved, it's just going under the water and coming up again. It has no real meaning. Salvation must come before one is baptized. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both into the water. Now why did both of them go down into the water? because Philip was going to put the eunuch under the water and bring him up again, because baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Romans 6 explains. It's an immersion in the water, a putting one under the water. And what it pictures is that this is what has taken place in an individual spirit when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have died to the old life of sin. We've now received new life, eternal life, and we've become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, when a man believes in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And the individuals become a new person in their spirit. It's a spiritual transformation and change that takes place in the life of the individual. And thus, baptism pictures that change. And baptism is a literal immersing of the body under the water and bringing it up again, picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of an individual. And so this is the scriptural method of baptism. And that's why after a person's saved, they need to find a church where God's Word is being taught and proclaimed, and where there is scriptural baptism. And thus you can walk in obedience to the Lord. You're doing what He commanded to be done. After accepting Christ as Savior, you're bearing testimony to the fact of any who observe that baptism that you believe Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and that He arose from the grave. And in like manner you're showing to them that you have died to the old life of sin. You've been buried through Christ's death, burial, and you're coming forth to walk in newness of life, to live for Jesus, to let your life count for Christ. And so baptism is an act of obedience, and it pictures our faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's after a person has put their faith and trust in Christ and has accepted Him as Savior that they're obedient to the Lord in scriptural baptism. Thus, now that you've accepted Christ as Savior, that's the next step for the new believer. Till next time, goodbye.